Good evening, and welcome to another Thursday night edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio, brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Kautz with me here, Tom Kautz, and Gus, the upcoming schedule is just what you would expect it to be as we move into the last week of January. It's packed. It's full of games. Tomorrow night, we're going to return to the Jefferson County North Girls Invitational Tournament, and we're going to do games from the Winchester site this time, as we will have Northeast Kansas and Perry LeCompton and ACCHS Rossville, as it'll be the winner's portion of the bracket from the Winchester JCN High School site. On Saturday, hard to believe we're seeing them again so quickly. Benedictine hosting Mid-America this time up at the Nolan Gymnasium. 2 o'clock for the guy or for the girls and 4 o'clock for the guys. So 2 and 4 Saturday at the Nolan. Next Tuesday, oh, it's the King. Morehill Mount Academy, ACCHS. And then Wednesday, we're going to hop down to the Ashcroft. Benedictine at Evangel. So it is packed full. And we're going to talk about the fact that moving month has moved up, but we'll get to all of that. First things first, high school basketball, and got to go down to the JCN tournament on Tuesday. Went to a gym, Gus, that I've been to many times, but have never broadcast games from, and that is the JCN Middle School Gymnasium in the Nortonville site, and really nice gym. It's got a tremendous floor, seating on one side. It's a cool gym, and we saw a couple of really interesting games and a couple of really good teams.
I always liked the JCN, you know, the Nortonville gym. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but for some reason there was something about that floor, that gym set up, that I really liked. So it's kind of cool that for JCN, it works out really well that you've got the two sites and you're able to, you know, run multiple games and not overload one gym in one night, where if a game gets off schedule, it just throws your whole night. But yeah, I mean, you get to go to one gym, you get to see some teams that you're somewhat familiar with, and you get to see some teams that you're not so familiar with. And I think what's kind of cool about this tournament, and this is why we always talk about tournament times and how much you love them, is because, again, you're going to bring a Rossville, an ACCHS, you're going to bring a team like Perry LeCompton from the Big 7, you're going to bring a team like, Northeast Kansas, which, you know, is a team that you only probably see in a tournament like this. So, again, it's kind of cool to see these teams all come together. You got Atchison from the KCAL, so there are ladies getting into this tournament. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to just see all these teams come together at once.
And you talk about some good teams. We're seeing some good teams. Let's talk about the Lady Tigers for ACCHS, having that dream kind of a season. They are currently number 6 in the state of Kansas in Class 3A girls. It's kind of hard to believe that we're talking about them in Class 3A after having been in Class 2A for, you know, so many years. But they've been bumped up, and they're in Class 3A. And when we look around the state, you want to just bump through the rankings real quickly? I mean, if you'd like to.
Yeah.
Class 6A girls. Let's start with the girls first. Johnny Mission South, and then it's all those schools with the Blue Valley North, Washburn Rural, Derby, Lawrence Liberal, Topeka High. 5A girls, Topeka Seaman. And then number 2, Bishop Carroll, Andover, Emporia, St. Thomas Aquinas, Hutch, Bonner, Baser Linwood, Shawnee Heights, Andover Central. 4A girls. Here's a stunner. Bishop Miege, number 1. Who saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
McPherson is 2. Wellington, Wamego at number 4. Followed by Fort Scott, Independence, Andale, Parsons. Rock Creek is 9. And Hugoton and Hayden tied for the 10th spot. 3A girls we mentioned a moment ago. But at the top, you got to go way out west. Matter of fact, you leave the time zone. You go out to Goodland, number 1 team. Phillipsburg is number 2. Nemaha Central, number 3 in the state in Class 3A girls, followed by Haven, ACCHS at 6, Silver Lake, Heston, Eureka, and Southeast of Saline. 2A girls, Berean Academy is number 1. St. Mary's Colgan 2, Smith Center, and then Jackson Heights, number 4, Riverside 5, Hillsboro, Mission Valley, Bluestem, Remington, and of course, one of your favorite teams, Hoxie, in at number 10 and 2A.
Isn't it kind of weird to see a team like Riverside in 2A?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but for me, I look at Big 7 teams, and I always think they're more 3, 4A, and then you've got a team like Riverside, who you got to see a couple nights ago, and they're pretty impressive on the ladies' side.
Oh, yeah. They're really, really good. I'm not going to tell you they're going to win the state of Kansas. I'm going to tell you they're going to win their sub-state, and I'm going to tell you they're going to be very competitive against whomever they play because they have that ideal combination. Great height and athleticism in the middle, great speed and guard play at the perimeter. I mean, that is a 1-2 punch that's going to get you a whole lot of W's. By the way, in Division 1A, Donovan West checks in at number 8. We go over to the boys' rankings. And again, in the big rankings, it's all the big schools with Blue Valley North and Wichita Heights, Olathe West, Olathe North. Garden City, number 5, the only team in the 6A top 10 that is, west of 75 Highway. And you got the Blue Valley, Northwest, Derby, Lawrence. You also have Free State and Shawnee Mission Northwest. 5A, I saw these guys. You know what? They've got him ranked number 1. Can you be better? Can you get higher than number 1? Because Highland Park may be that.
Yeah, Highland Park, one of those teams that's super athletic. They were up here in Hutchinson just a couple weeks ago. You got to do that game. And, I saw the highlights and listened to that game.
Yeah.
And, man, it sounds like they're probably deserving of that number 1 team.
Hutch is number 2. Cape and Mount Carmel, number 3. St. James Academy is 4, then Mays South, Andover Central, Andover, DeSoto, Topeka West, and Kansas City Piper. Now, you talked about that game. Little did we realize, maybe at that moment, what kind of a game that was and how fun it was to see the number 1 team in 5A, Highland Park, and the number 1 team in 4A, the Atchison Phoenix.
Yeah, Atchison playing great right now.
When was the last time Atchison was the number 1 team in 4A? It's been a minute.
Probably been a few minutes, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you probably go back and find it pretty quickly. I mean,
when Chick was coaching.
I would even say, yeah, like when they played Effingham back in 95, maybe ish.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I would say somewhere around the mid 90s. So they had some really good teams, you know, since then, but I don't know about that number 1 ranking for sure. But yeah, Atchison, they went up to the Nemaw Central tournament over the weekend, kind of had no problems there, and right now just playing really good basketball.
Yeah, and number 2, see, I'll tell you, how you know you're really good? When Miesia's number 2 behind you,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you've got Eudora and McPherson, Circle, Hugoton, Wellington, Abilene, Baldwin, Topeka, Hayden. 3A boys. We don't have to go very far from home again, and we go to the Big 7 with Sabetha, number 1, followed by Southeast of Saline and Heston and Haven. Collegiate is number 5. Galena, Marysville is in there. Bishop Ward, we've seen them, Colby, and Heritage Christian Academy. We get them on a lot of the schedules from around this area. And talk about a nice little gym down there in Olathe. That's nice.
Yeah, the Ward boys, right, won the McLeod tournament.
Correct,
the other day.
They did.
So,
2A boys, Wichita Independent, followed by TMP, the Knights, number 2. Ellenwood, Linden, Inman, Mound Ridge, Bennington, Hill City, Sterling, and Remington.
You shocked at all at Class 1A Division 1 boys?
No.
You talk about a school who does a lot of things well. The number 1 team in Class 1A Division 1 is Olpe. Number 2, Centralia. Those two teams seem to find their way towards the top.
Pick a sport.
Number 4 is Clifton Clyde. Blue Valley Randolph is 7. And you've got, Norwich at 9. So.
And then, of course, you go to 1A with Greeley County. Northern Valley Axtell is number 3. Hanover is number 4. Cunningham, number 8. Stafford is number 9. You know what I would think is fun? One of these days, I'm going to bring this big map of the Sunflower State, and I'm not even going to ask you to pinpoint. I'm just going to have you draw a circle. Can you give me some idea of where these towns are?
No. I think we joke about this every week.
Oh, yeah.
On Sports Hook, right?
Great.
Like, I think sometimes you're making schools up when you're, you know, you could probably just tell me any school, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you the easiest quiz yet. What county is Stafford, Kansas in?
Yeah. We're going to go Stafford.
Yes! Yes!
See? I can figure this out, right?
You got it!
I had, Kansas history with Ms. Torkelson. I could maybe do okay with some of these things.
She would be very proud to know that your Kansas geography is so solid. Hey, pick out your teams. Right? Again, it is girls' tournament week, and of course, except for MHMA, who had the boy-girl combination tournament last week down at McLeod. So, that said, find your tournament. You know, go support the teams. Go out and see some new teams and have a little fun with it.
Yeah, you know, if you're in Atchison, for the guys on the 27th, they're going to kind of just fill a game this week. They're going to be at Jeff West. So, you know, pick your team, find out where they're at. Sveth at Silver Lake. I mean, there are some fun ones going on, and we'll talk a little more about it next week. But the wrestling season is starting to wind down a little bit as you're starting to, you know, look at the horizon and see how the state might turn out for some of these teams. So,
hey, Sports Look, rolling along here on a Thursday evening. Lots more to bring you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE Radio. And Gus, last night, women's college basketball, we were able to see Benedictine men and women opening game with the Lady Ravens. And if you're going to play an opponent, you know what you ought to do? You ought to play just about the best in the nation, and that's what Benedictine did last night. Is we were over in Fayette, Central Methodist had the reigning conference player of the week. But wait a minute, that's every week.
Every week it feels like it. They just might as well rename it the Central Methodist Ladies Award.
Right. They've been just fantastic the last 3 weeks. Leah John, it was Massenet a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And the week before that, Leah Johnson the week before that, they are so, so good. Not only are they number two in the nation, they are undefeated. And last night, we talked about it during the broadcast, picked up the magic number, the 20th win of the year. They are 20-0. Hard to get much better than that.
Okay. So you've seen them now twice.
I have.
Talk to me about, they're 20-0 now.
Yeah.
They're number two in the country.
Yes.
But aren't they probably just the best team in the country? I know Thomas More of Kentucky is the number one team, and probably by virtue of just being 21-0. But that team last night is just going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, you know, I don't know all the other teams in the country, obviously. We haven't seen all of them. But I can't imagine how you're going to put together a better cast of characters. And, of course, There can come a night, and we saw one of those last night, too, where no matter how good your players are, some nights you can't put the biscuit in the basket, okay? And that may happen. But the thing with Central Methodist is they also have some level of depth. Now, I mean, it's not 10 deep, okay? It's 7, 8 deep. And if somebody's having an off night, you reach down into your bench, and you pull up someone else, and they probably are going to be. But they shoot so well from the outside. They've got great presence in the middle. They are very, very solid.
That's the problem, right? They're balanced. And that makes them difficult to play because, like, last night, they just came out and hit all these threes, right? Early on, just boom, boom, boom. And that's difficult. So then you start D-ing that up a little bit or those threes stop to fall. Then all of a sudden, they're going to bang it in the middle. The bigs are going to get involved, and then they can do it that way. You talk about Central Methodist, you're going to find out. I wouldn't be shocked if next week they're the number one team in the country because Thomas More, the number one team, Saturday, they're going to be on the road at number three, Campbellsville, Kentucky. So you talk about a huge game, number one versus number three on the ladies' side Saturday afternoon. So
and against Central Methodist last night, they hit almost 60% of all of their shots. They hit half of their three-point shots at 14-29. Okay, that's really not half. That's 48.3%.
Right.
That's pretty good. And you got people like Massenet. She was 6 of 8 for three. You got Pachkarova, 6 of 12 from the outside. Both of those players getting over 20 points each. You know, so they're really good.
For the Lady Ravens, they went 12 players deep. They're struggling with some injuries and just trying to fill some spots, right? Like, you had a couple starters that have gone down, and you're trying to figure out exactly how you're going to fill those gaps and try to be able to, you know, move forward. So I think you're trying to plug and play right now and just find out what works best for you. But last night, I mean, your leading scorer on the night was Kennedy Nicholson. In 27 minutes, she had 9 points. Kyra Mizoraka getting the nod. She had 8 points, 7 for Michaela Ballman. So, I mean, you're starting to see these younger players start to produce for you, and I think that's one of the things you're going to go through, maybe some of these growing pains. But, again, you look long-term, and you're going to start seeing some bright spots in this program.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do. Again, for Benedictine, there are a lot of young players on the roster, players who are going to be here for a while. We need to start, you know, you need to start assessing them, seeing how they play. Their practice is one thing. Game times can be another. Some players play like they practice. Some players play differently in a game than they practice. You just got to see where they all shake out. And Kyra Mizoraka, you mentioned, you know, injured players. She is back now for 2 games, coming off of a hand injury. Got it, had a repair done. Still wearing a wrap on that thing, but you know, she's beginning to kind of get back into a game shape and game form. And so for Benedictine, the tests come again very, very quickly, and, you know, we're 2 days from the next time you get out on the floor.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. I feel like the whole second half of this season has been really stacked, right? Like, so you came back, you played right out the gate, Central Methodist. Now you're back to playing at Central Methodist. Saturday you're going to be at home with a really good Mid-America team. Next week, you go to the Ashcroft Center, and Evangel's always good, and I just feel like there's something different about playing in the Ashcroft, right? I don't care how good the two teams are, playing in that gym just makes a different feel.
Okay, we're getting well into it, okay? We're going to start talking, the next segment about that early moving month, but let's start looking, maybe forecasting a little bit. You start looking toward the postseason. I mean, you're down to the last, 2.5 weeks of the season, regular season.
Yeah,
before
it'll
the
be here for
tournaments.
You know, yep.
Who makes a tournament? Can the Heart of America Athletic Conference put 5 teams in the postseason? I mean, if 20 is the line of demarcation, there's a shot for 5. A really good, very legitimate shot at 5.
Okay, yeah. So start working backwards and figuring who's in. Central Methodist, you're in. Clark, yep. You're in. Grandview, let's go ahead and count them in.
Sure.
Right?
17-4 with, you know, that many to go. They're right. Going to be in.
Mid-America at 14-6 has some work to do, I think, because they're going to look at it and say, yeah, but you got 6 losses, and that puts them, what, 3-and, okay, so as you start breaking that down a little bit, they're 3-2 in non-cons,
uh-huh.
Right? And so that's going to be difficult for, I think, some people looking at it. Culver Stockton playing really good basketball at 15-6. So, I mean, I feel like they are kind of on that outside line. So, yeah, I think right now, feasibly, you could go forward and say that 5 teams could make the tournament field.
Yeah. Again, 20-0, 19-2, 17-4, 15-6, 14-6.
Would you be shocked, though, if the tournament title game had one middle-of-the-pack team that, you know, you just weren't expecting?
Well, I mean, when you look at it, you got Missouri Valley with 12-9. You got Evangel. We talked about them. You know, they're a 500 team. Baker's a 500 team. Penn.
You went up to Penn.
To that.
Yeah, you went up to Penn a couple weeks ago, and you talk about a team who's 8-13, not playing the best basketball, but they're a team who they got hot that day and just couldn't miss. So sometimes that's what happens in basketball. But I do think you're right. A team like a Missouri Valley at 12-9 is a team who could make a little run in the postseason tournament. And so, yeah, I think there are a few of those teams. Evangel at 9-11 could make a nice little run in the tournament. But right now for the Lady Ravens, you're fighting to get yourself into the postseason tournament field.
And frankly, the postseason tournament field, if they are going to take the top 8, there are going to be some 10-11 win teams that are not in.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're going to leave some good teams home. I mean, and that's what's going to happen in this conference, because you're going to beat up on each other. I mean, you go down, you don't get very far in. The 6th place team is 8-7, right? So, anyway, yep, it's a stacked conference. Central Methodist out on top with Clark, Grandview, Mid-America, Culver, followed by Valley, Evangel, Baker.
Now, for the Benedictine Lady Ravens, the carrot, okay, that you dangle in front of this team. You talked about it. You want to get into the postseason, okay? You've got to get into the postseason. You are only one win from eighth spot.
Mm-hmm. And okay. The other advantage is you're going to get some of these teams that are ahead of you, you know, coming up that you can kind of gain some ground on some of these teams pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. And, again, for Benedictine, Lady Ravens are going to be at home in the Nolan, and we'll be with them Saturday at 2 o'clock. Oh, and by the way, if you've got some favorite alumni, it's going to be Alumni Days, and they've invited back a lot of the former players. And well, actually, I'm sure they invited back all former players. Always welcome. A lot of them have already said they're going to be there, so you might come up and rekindle some old friendships. We'll be back. More Sports Look coming your way here on CARE. We shift our attention from women's college basketball to the guys, and I guess we mentioned again that Benedictine last night over at Central Methodist, and for the Ravens, it was one of those nights, we alluded to it a little bit earlier, when no matter what you do, it just doesn't want to go. And Coach talked about that, you know, in the post game when Coach Moody was up chatting with us. It was just a heartbreaking, tough night that no matter what you did, it didn't pan out.
You know, but we talked about it last week on Sports Look that I said Puckett Fieldhouse was probably one of my favorite gymnasiums. I don't know why. I think probably because I remember as a small kid always going to it. I'm like, this place is just neat, right? It had the chicken wire on the ends and all kinds of just craziness.
And it's huge.
It's much nicer now than it was years ago. But yeah, it's a massive building. And you kind of talked about how teams struggle to shoot there because it's the elevated floor. The floor sits kind of in the middle of no man's land, right? Like, you're quite a ways from either end of the gym. And big stands, I mean, it has always been a tough place to shoot. Even if you're using the right basketball, because sometimes over there, they don't use the correct basketball for a game. But, you know, for the Ravens,
I think we may have had that last night. Did you notice about 3 minutes into the game, the official stopped the game, picked the ball up, and he's standing there, he's looking at it. He's holding it up like an orb. You know, he's like, he's looking at a gem, holding it up in the air. And then he tucks it under his arm, walks over to the Central Methodist assistant coach, shows him the ball. The assistant coach jumps up, runs back to the ball rack, grabs a different one,
yeah,
hands it to him, and he looks at both of them, tosses him the first one, and keeps the second one, and they go on playing.
Because, see, years ago, when something like that could have happened, you saw one ball just, like, it rocketed
away.
Anyway, but, you know, for Benedictine, they kept it. They actually took a one-point lead into the half, but in the second half, Central Methodist started to heat up, and for the Ravens, they could just never really get the offense going. Guys like Braden Belt, who is a great shooter, and shooters will do this, right? Like, you'll go 8 of 10 one night, and maybe the next night you go 1 of 10. So sometimes those things happen, but for the Ravens, a great game for Jaden Timmy. I think he's picking up where he left off Saturday against Park. He was a guy who really knocked down two daggers down the stretch to help put Benedictine over against Park. Well, he puts up 19 points in 32 minutes. He was 3 of 9 from behind the arc.
Okay, now, if you're Jaden Timmy, you're a senior, been on this program, in this program for a long time, got a lot of playing time, a lot of minutes. Do you see, you know, the end coming, and at some, you know, you're just giving that game just that little extra something, knowing that, you know, your clock is ticking?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit, right? Like,
if you're Sam Ungashick, he had a great game. He's a freshman. When you're a freshman, it's forever. You're never going to quit playing.
11 years ago was Moody's first year, right?
Correct.
And I remember standing in Lamoni, and we were kind of talking to him before the game, and it was one of those second half of the season things, and he said to Coach about, man, for these seniors, because Graceland wasn't that great that year, and you knew that was going to be the last time, and you're like, for these seniors, this will be the last time they're in the Clawson Center. And I'll never forget kind of the look on his face. Like, you know, it's one of those things that you know it. Everybody knows it. But then you stop and you think about it, and you're like, that's how fast it goes. And I think for players, that's what happens. It's like, you start looking at things, and you're like, man, like, I'm used to coming here. And then you're like, I don't have to come back here. I'm not coming back here. And so I think for players, yeah, you start to see that end of the tunnel thing. And Jaden Timmy, though, putting together a great finish to his career here at Benedictine.
Yeah, 19 points, a great night. And Sam Ungashick, I'm going to tell you what, coming in as a freshman, you never know what you're going to get. You know, it's like that, it's like a Forrest Gump thing. You don't know what you're going to open a box and find. Look pretty good at the early part of the season, but you got to play a few games and see how it pans out. Sam is going to be a player who someday, and not just in the 3 more years he's going to be here, but 5 years, 8 years, 12 years down the road, you're going to go, that Sam's a really, really good point guard. And you could see that coming in his future right now because he's been starting every game starting as a freshman.
Yeah, you know, and you could talk to Coach Moody and he would probably go in depth about this and understand this more than I would, but I always look at freshmen about this time of the season, okay? The end of January, and I start to say, okay, how do they look now? Because these guys have never played this many games, mm-hmm. right? Because
certainly this,
I mean, it's different. In high school, you play 15, 18 games, whatever it is. But in college, when you're playing 40-minute games and you're playing 30 of them with long bus rides and things like that, how do they hold up at the end of the season? And I feel like Sam has never let off, and I really think maybe even trending upwards as the season is ending. Another guy that I really like watching, and he's kind of fun for me, and that's Preston Reynolds.
Yep.
I mean, he's another one of those young guys, put up 9 points last night, had 5 rebounds, 3 steals, I mean, and gave you 25 minutes.
Yeah, Preston is the new style guard. Sam, you know, at 6'1", prototypical kind of a guard, you know, the guard that we've been used to over the years. But Preston brings the different dimension of being a 6'5" guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's kind of gone to. If you can find one, you know, 6'5" guards are not just hanging on trees all over the
right,
place, you
right.
know. Yep. So, yeah, he's going to be interesting. And that is going to ultimately be a great backcourt.
Yeah. So, for Benedictine, it was a tough night down at the Puckett Fieldhouse. But, again, you lost to a good team. I think at the end of the season, we always talk about those games that you want back. That's a tough matchup for you because, again, they play lots of guards and they're just a good team and a really good coached ball club.
Around the conference last night, there were some interesting, can we call them interesting games? There was a lot of scoring that went on in some of them, and there was not so much scoring that went on in some of them. Again, the Benedictine game, you saw quite a raft of points in that one. Other games from last night, final scores around the conference. It was an overtime win for Baker on the road at Valley as they win 75-71. I don't consider that high scoring, you know, with an OT kind of a game.
Not for both of those teams, because Chad Lance would like to score 100 every game, right?
Grayson beats Evangel by 7 at home, or by 8. It was Mount Mercy over Clark. Kind of surprises me a little bit, 77-68. Peru State at home. Peru's playing well. They beat Grandview by 9. It was Penn, only an 8-point win over Culver Stockton at home, up in the Penn Gym, and Mid-America squeaks out a win over Park, and, you know, I thought maybe Mid-America would be a lot better than that, but again, you know, at the end of the day, it's a W.
Park is a scary 5-15 team, right? I never thought I'd say that, but Park is a team 5-15, or 3-12 in the conference, and I'm going to tell you, you probably look up and down their scores without having done it myself. I bet they don't get blown out very often, right? They match up really well. They're super athletic. They're coached well. They're going to be a tough out most nights.
Penn is the only undefeated team in the conference play at 15-0, 19-2 overall, William Penn.
Yeah, and they're about to, like, crown themselves the champions, right? They're going to be able to do that without getting to the end of the season, right?
Because for sure.
They've got a 3-game lead right now on Evangel.
Yep, Evangel at 12-3. Then Mid-America and Peru, 11-4. Baker's at 10-4. Didn't see that coming. Ravens are right behind them at 9-6. So for Benedictine, you're 2 games out of third place.
Yeah, but the big thing is for Benedictine, you know, we talk about the teams in front of you and being able to catch them. Well, you're going to get both of those teams in the next couple days. You're going to be home with Mid-America, the number 3 team in the conference, and then you're going to go to Evangel, the number 2 team in the conference. Now, you lost to Evangel earlier this season up in the Nolan, but that's a team who you had them on the ropes. You could have won that game, and I think that, you know, that's one where Coach Moody is probably chomping at the bit a little bit to get back to that one.
Okay, Saturday's game, Benedictine at home with with Mid-America. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Ravens with a thrilling and a very impressive win at Mid-America just a couple of Saturdays ago. If you are a first-year head coach like the Pioneers have, how do you prep your team for this? I mean, how do you how do you size them up? You say, we got to go get that thing back? Or how do you do it?
Yeah, and you know, for Hepker, he was a guy who had a lot of wins coming out of the Nolan, right? Like, I mean, he may not have lost at the Nolan over his career because he was on some of those really good teams for Mid-America. I think it's going to be difficult for him to not get himself too amped up. And that was something that Rocky, you know, he had all the antics and things, and he was fun. But he was always kind of cool on the sideline until he really needed to be. And I think that's one of those things that Hepker, as he gets some more time and coaching under his wings, will get that figured out. But, yeah, I think it'll be, you know, another good matchup for Benedictine because they just match up well with Mid-America, and sometimes that's all it takes.
There you go. Hey, we're going to be back. We got more Sports Look coming up. Final segment on the way. As we go to segment 4 here on Sports Look this evening. Gus, the NFL is down to the final 4 teams. It is the championships this weekend. Looking at the NFC first, 49ers at Eagles. It's going to be the 2 o'clock game on Sunday. All 4 of these teams are good. Any one of the 4 are going to be able to win. But let's talk about this Eagles team first. I think that at home, as good as the 49ers are playing, can't imagine the Eagles not coming away with this somehow.
Yeah, the Eagles feel like right now they're just kind of destined to win this thing, right? They're playing good enough football, and San Francisco has been great, right? Like, they struggled at times against the Cowboys, but I feel like at the end of the game, I never walked away from that thing saying they were going to be in trouble in that thing. Right now, I think a lot of people keep looking at Brock Purdy, and they're like, at some point, this 7th-round pick, this third-string quarterback has to fail, and you play within the confines of your offense, right? Like, your coach says, here's what our plan is, and he goes out and continues to do that and not try to, you know, oh, well, I could do this, or I could no, just do what your coach tells you to, and right now, he's done a great job of it.
But there's Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just it, you know, and for the Eagles, I don't know, I just feel like 2.5 points, they probably blast over that. I don't think this is an overly close game. I think the Eagles probably win by 10.
This other game is going to be held in Kansas City. And again, it's the Bengals and the Chiefs. This is, if it's not becoming, it may already be, you know, one of the great rivalries at the top of the AFC. And it's going now for more than a season. This is going back down a little bit.
Yeah, and right now the Bengals own the Chiefs, right? They're 3-0 in the last calendar year. They've got a chance to go 4-0. They have a chance to get to their second straight Super Bowl. But you talk about a Bengals team who keeps playing the, you know, we're the underdog card. You are the reigning AFC champion, right? You were in the national championship game last year. You lost to St. Louis, you lost to the Rams in a very close game. I feel like, you know, they're trying to play a card that just isn't there. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't feel like that whole underdog card is really a thing because they're actually favored in this game.
Well, now, you see, you say that, okay? But this is where I think that when the guys who know more about sports than anybody, the guys in the desert, okay? Mm-hmm. When they cannot pick a number and they cannot pick a favorite, it is vacillated back and forth between the two teams. You know, yesterday, Cincinnati was a 1.5-point favorite, and I just pulled up Caesars. They've got Kansas City -1 right now.
Yeah, so see, I feel
that
like
that tells you how close this game is.
Yeah, and I think that right now the big question is what's the health of 15 right now?
Sure.
And nobody's really going to know that until, 535, right? And I mean, it's just going to be one of those things that until he gets hit, you don't really know where he's at. Saw a statistic today. You know, the Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw from the pocket that much, right? He likes to extend plays and do his thing. But when 90% of his passes come from the pocket, they're undefeated, right? He's 12-0. He, you know, when he's forced to stay in the pocket. Now, 2 years ago when he had the same injury just to his other leg, he came back and fired, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. So,
okay,
we'll see.
So, as much as 15 is important, I think that the crucial thing is, and it always is in every game, it's always in the trenches. I think the offensive line is key. If they can give him a pocket and give him a minute so that he doesn't have to roll out, doesn't have to extend the plays as much, as often, you know, I think the Kansas City's in a good spot. And if I am in the ear of Orlando Brown Jr., I'm saying, you want paid right here, today. You play the game that these guys want you and need you to play, and you will. You'll get paid.
What? There's 28 teams sitting at home on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday. Okay?
Yeah.
By the time the Chiefs play, there'll be 30 teams watching this game. Because by that point, the 49ers and Eagles will be having it on in the locker room or whatever. Okay? That means there are 30 GMs and 30 coaches and 30 owners around the NFL. And you're going to be a free agent? Like, all eyes are on you.
Everyone.
Go get your bag, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, here's your chance to go out and just get a huge stack of cash and prove that you should. I mean, and for Kansas City, they would love nothing more than Orlando Brown to do that because that meant that they won the game, right? But if next Thursday we're talking about Orlando Brown, that meant something.
It's a bad day.
That meant something went wrong. So, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, that offensive line is probably where this whole game lies. And so it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City does on Sunday. I don't have a great feeling either way on this one.
And here's the thing. It's going to be going cold.
Yeah.
It's going to be really cold.
Yeah.
You know, down in the teens, it's going to be frigid. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tough weather day. And it's going to be a great game again, 5:30, Chiefs-Bengals. Now, quickly shifting over to basketball, the Kansas Jayhawks are in a tailspin. Okay? There's no better way to put it. A week ago, they were number one. They've lost not one or two. They've lost three games in a row. They lost to TCU, and they were embarrassed by TCU in Allen Fieldhouse. That just doesn't happen. What is wrong with this team?
Yeah, I mean, right now the problem is you have some guys that just aren't hitting their shots, right? Harris is struggling with the basketball a little bit. Jalen Wilson has been playing great. But the problem is nobody else is playing well. Like, you need Grady Dick to start hitting some shots. You need a presence in the middle at all. And so for Kansas right now, they're struggling to put some things together and figure it out. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a Kansas fan, every time they lose, the sky is falling, right? And then at the end of the season, you look back and you're like, oh, we were in the Final Four, didn't win the national title, but I guess it was an okay year, and you forget about the three losses in the middle of the season. So, again, I think that, yeah, it is bad that you've lost three in a row, but if there's a guy who can figure it out, it's Bill Self.
And if there's a place to get healthy, and you would not think this on a typical year, Kansas at Kentucky, as much as Kansas has struggled, Kentucky is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and I don't get it because you brought back the reigning player of the year and you gave him a lot of money. But when it's all said and done, Kentucky is struggling. I think Coach Cal has a foot maybe out the door trying to figure out where he wants to go next. I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see how Kansas matches up with Kentucky because this week is that whole Big 12 versus SEC showdown, which I kind of like it. It's fun. You get to see
you break up the conference
guys
a little.
And in the middle of the season, it's a good chance to see where these teams match up. Auburn will get West Virginia. Alabama, the number two team in the country, they're going to get Oklahoma. Iowa State going to get a familiar foe. They're going to get Mizzou. So that should be an easy win for the Cyclones. Texas Tech, LSU, TCU, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Baylor. Texas in Tennessee, so 10 versus 4. And then Saturday at 5 o'clock from Bramlage, you're going to have Florida taking on Kansas State.
And then, as quickly as you get rebounded from that, you turn around and go to Lawrence, Kansas for the rematch. And again, it feels like it's come very, very quickly. Kansas State at Kansas. And depending on how the games go in the interim, two top 10 teams meeting. And when was the last time both Kansas and Kansas State met as top 10 teams?
Yeah, well, Kansas State was just outside the top 10, I think, when they met down at Bramlage a couple weeks ago. K-State lost at Hilton the other night, a game where I think that Jerome Tang is going to look back and say, we just didn't execute maybe down the stretch. But K-State's playing really good basketball right now, and I think they're a difficult team. And man, they would love nothing more than to sweep the series with Kansas this year and get a win at Fog Allen. So,
and it's a weird year. Weird year in the NCAA, and we'll leave it with one final thought, at least, unless you want to add something to it. But at the top. I mean, we're used to the Michigan States and the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the North Carolinas. But Purdue?
Yeah.
Purdue?
Purdue, Kansas State, Alabama. I mean, like, there's some interesting teams right now in the top 25. So, again, you got to love it.
Hey, what you got to love, too, is we are rapidly approaching baseball season, and now a little bit of action is starting to come in for Kansas City, getting rid of some people who probably it was time. I mean, you can only say we're rebuilding with this guy, like, for 6 or 8 years, and Alberto Mondesi, who played in 8 years, like, 8 games, it's time to go.
Yeah, and for Kansas City, they kept trying to sell you on, and see, I don't really agree with how they're going about the last week. 10 days, something like that, okay? So they got a lot of pushback after they did the whole downtown stadium thing, okay? Their first town hall type meeting, open mic. Because everybody said, why? Why are you going to go downtown? We're going to plunge all this money for a really bad team who just keeps running the same players out. You know what they're going to do here in like 10 days? They're going to have meeting number two. So what do? Like, you trade Mondesi to the Red Sox, which is fine. You trade Michael A. Taylor to the Twins. But right now it feels like you're forcing it a little too much. You're like, oh, man, we're just coming up on spring training. We got to do something. Let's show them that we're going to change up. But the problem is you traded off two okay pieces, whatever, and you brought in like five arms that at the end of the day, maybe two. We'll see, you know, the bigs, and so I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's a little bit of a ploy right now.
As I say, proof is in the pudding, okay? Yeah. And I think that Kansas City citizen who's going to be paying for this, I think Kansas City Royal fan, they all need just one thing, W.
Yeah, and can I tell you, I bet you and I could walk down the streets of Kansas City, okay? I'll let you pick the street. Walk down the street. $100 bills. I bet we could ask 20 people on the street who the manager of the Royals is. And, I mean, I bet we'd only lose a couple of those $100 bills.
Right. And if you ask 10 people who, give me five of the starters from last year's team. And I don't mean, you know, like the last day, a pick a day. I mean, like five guys who started at any time last year. You would probably still have eight of those hundreds in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's the problem right now for the Royals is that, you know, they're just not relevant yet. And that's a problem for John Sherman and this ownership group. And, you know, the whole issue with Bally's Sports right now and the TV package, that seems like everything's going south right now. So, again, baseball I feel like is in a bad spot, but, you know, in 19 days we won't be thinking about those things. We'll be thinking about spring training.
Yep, 19 days away. How about that? And sooner than that, we've got a lot of basketball coming up on Care Radio. Tomorrow night we will be at the Jefferson County North Tournament, ACCHS Rossville and NEK with Perry. Saturday, Benedictine at home, Mid-America coming to town, ladies at two, of the guys at four. Tuesday, it's a county rivalry in the NEKL, Morehead Academy and ACCHS. Next Wednesday, from Springfield, the Ravens and Evangel. For the last time in history, how about that? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
That said, we want to thank our sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, Petro Convenience Store. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.